B's attorney, H. Richmond Fisher. Fisher told me something no journalist ever wants to hear. Another reporter was already working on the story. News shops can be even more turf-conscious than police departments, so this discovery elicited some cussing from our employers. But we chose to work together. We knitted our two halves into one, an investigation gone wrong, tethered to one done right. In December 2015, we published a 12,000-word story called An Unbelievable Story of Rape that contrasted the police investigations in Washington and Colorado and depicted the emotional toll on Marie. In February 2016, This American Life aired a show called Anatomy of Doubt, an exploration into how the suspicions concerning Marie's story started and spread. Ira Glass put it this way, people exercising empathy and getting it wrong. But even after completing these two stories, we felt there was more to tell. We wanted to trace the historical roots of the skepticism that often confronts rape victims and the misguided assumptions that can lead some detectives astray. We wanted to profile Mark O'Leary and the array of law enforcement officials behind his capture. We wanted to place Marie's case in national context to show that as awful as her ordeal was, other victims have suffered much the same. Hence, this book. As we reported the story out, we came to admire the resolve of those willing to talk to us about something so painful. Marie agreed to be interviewed because she believed that the more her experience was known, the less likely it was to be repeated. Peggy and Shannon agreed to talk in the hopes others could learn from their mistakes. The same went for the Linwood police, including Commander Ryder, Sergeant Conheim, and the case's lead detective, Sergeant Mason. We tried, without success, to interview Jerry Ritgarn, the former Linwood police detective. He replied in an email that he was perturbed at having the Linwood police portrayed as bullying Marie. As a side note, bullying was the word used in Sergeant Rinta's report. Ritgarn said any depiction was, quote, far from the truth. When you have victims who lie to the police and then seek out attention in the form of a biased story written by the media, you sensationalize the case and don't tell the complete truth. If you want a complete, truthful count of what occurred, to include interview, evidence, etc., I will do it only under monetary compensation contract, close quote. We informed him that we don't pay for interviews. In writing about rape, we often found ourselves balancing competing objectives. While describing the assaults, for example, we tried to use enough detail to convey the horror of what O'Leary put his victims through. At the same time, however, we wanted to stop short of being gratuitous. In writing about O'Leary's victims, we strove to withhold details that could be used to identify them. So, for instance, we say Sarah sang in a church choir without saying which church. At the same time, it was important to us to write about the women he attacked as real, distinguishable people instead of as caricatures. Doing so required some level of detail. Another challenge concerned language. In this paragraph and elsewhere in the book, we've used the word victim to refer to Marie and other women attacked by O'Leary. Some who have been hurt, but by no means all, prefer the word survivor or victor. We opted to use victim, the most common term, as a general descriptor, but we knew that one woman attacked by O'Leary does not identify with that term, so we avoided using it in specific individual reference to her. In describing O'Leary's assaults, we also tried to avoid language that might be associated with consensual sex, changing, for example, the word fondle to grope. As is common practice to protect the anonymity of victims of sexual assault, we've changed some names in this book. We refer to the people in Marie's life, friends, family, and others, by using first names only. For victims and for suspects who were subsequently cleared, we generally chose pseudonyms, or, in Marie's case, her real middle name, which she does not go by. We disclosed a victim's real name if she chose to be identified publicly. We also use full names for police officers, prosecutors, judges, and other public officials, and, of course, for Mark O'Leary. Throughout the writing and reporting of this book, we tried to be mindful of potential blind spots. Perhaps one of the biggest in this project is gender. While the vast majority of sexual assault victims are women, we are both men. Fortunately, we were able to turn to the women involved in this project and in our lives. Rachel Clayman and Emma Berry were our editors. The head of Crown is Molly Stern. We also sought out other women readers, including our wives, to review drafts and offer insight. We reached out to experts in the fields of trauma and sexual violence as well. Those who were kind enough to offer feedback included Bruce Shapiro, the executive director of the Dart Center for Journalism and Trauma, Joanne Archambault, chief executive officer of End Violence Against Women International, and Michigan State University psychology professor Rebecca Campbell, a leading researcher on sexual assault. Lastly, Marie agreed to review our manuscript for accuracy and to let us know if there were passages or details where we might have misstepped and, without need, compounded the harm she has suffered. Marie's resilience is remarkable. So is the generosity of her spirit and her understanding of the good that can come from having people know and spread her story. We hope we've done her story justice, and any errors that remain are on us.
This is Hillary Huber. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of A False Report, A True Story of Rape in America by T. Christian Miller and Ken Armstrong. This program was produced and directed by Kelly Gilday. Text copyright 2015, 2018 by T. Christian Miller and Ken Armstrong. This is an expanded version of An Unbelievable Story of Rape by T. Christian Miller and Ken Armstrong, which originally published on ProPublica, ProPublica.org, and co-published with the Marshall Project on December 15, 2015. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.